Welcome to the Meet Me Downstairs podcast. I'm your host, Britt, and I'm here to bring you some real-ass conversations about what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a mother, what it means to really just live in this world in female skin and feel empowered and educated and connected to our body. So the type of conversations that you're gonna hear are gonna be with a mixture of experts in the field of female existence and also real women, real mothers, just wanting to share a window into their world so that we can connect better. Remember, you're never alone. Your sisters are right here on the other end of your speaker, and you can always message us to connect deeper. So get ready to learn about yourself, to love yourself, and just embrace this experience. Pop in your headphones, turn up your speaker loud, and let's do the damn thing. Oh, hey, fancy meeting you guys here. You want to meet me downstairs? Hey, guys, Britt here. Another episode right up for you guys, all on the human body and this incredible suit that we have, that we live in every day, and sometimes, probably more often than not, live in autopilot and not so much in deep connection and awe of this miraculous body that we have that wakes up and opens its eyes and moves and speaks and breathes and walks and all of these things that we don't get to sit down and just think, oh my God, my body is incredible. And so I'm joined by the amazing and so charismatic Celeste Pereira, who is a yoga teacher, anatomy teacher, and physiotherapist, who literally like lives for the body. That is her passion. You can hear it when she speaks. She's a wealth of knowledge and information, and she's constantly just sharing on social media her great vibe, her great information, and her authentic and real self. And that's just what I love about her. I am so stoked. I'm a yoga teacher myself, and so being able to just talk to her and just hear her insight is a huge gift for me. And for all of those yoga teachers out there that are listening, I highly recommend you check her out. She also has an incredible workshop on how to help yoga teachers build and create thriving yoga businesses. So I'll put all that stuff in the show notes. And then otherwise, you're going to hear us just talk about our bodies and how we can move with intention and how we can learn to love ourselves better and push past the beauty standards that society has kind of painted for us and just feel free to kind of go out there and show what we've got no matter what we look like. All right. Enjoy this so much and happy day wherever you are in the world. Hi, Celeste. Thank you so much for joining. I'm so grateful to have you here. Huge fan, like big fan. And just so grateful that we get to talk about bodies. Like for me, the way that you sort of express yourself on social media, I feel like anybody could understand. And it just makes me appreciate my body so much more. And I think as we sort of express ourselves in the world, we sometimes can lose that intimate connection with our body and how we move and what we need. And, you know, so I really just want to talk to you today about bringing intentional awareness to how we move in our physical space so that we can kind of think, oh, this is what my body needs, or just reclaiming the power of movement within ourselves. So thank you for joining. Please just let everyone know just a little bit about you, and then we can get into all the good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, Brittany. Thank you so much for having me, and to all of your listeners, thank you so much for being here on this podcast with me. My name is Celeste, as Brittany mentioned, and yeah, do you know, I have just been completely fascinated with the human body since I was very, very little, and I've been so incredibly privileged because, you know, I had a family that really supported that passion, and from a young age, I was able to, you know, get books that spoke about the body. I was able to practice dancing, which I absolutely loved. My family helped me get into university to study physiotherapy and supported me in the career change, then dramatically shifting 180 to the world of yoga. And so, yeah, I'm just so grateful because since I was so small, I've always had this incredible fascination with the human body. And actually, Brittany, to the point of this podcast, I think it's actually really important what you're bringing to your listeners, because the human body is I mean, every single living creature is pretty epic, but I mean, the human body is really, I mean, maybe just because it's my passion, I'm just like mind blown by it each and every day that I get to learn something from it. And in particular, I find that these days, the beauty standard around the world has kind of redirected our focus away from this fascination of just how incredible our bodies are, and has almost skewed our perception, you know, and almost tainted this miraculous wonder of our bodies. And so I feel like movements like this podcast and also some really interesting things that are happening on social media about body positivity are pushing us in the right direction, but it is slow.
Yes, but it's amazing, really, because you're so right. We're so consumed with, I suppose, the outer appearance of the body and less in awe of what the mechanics of it is capable of doing and how it literally this is our suit of life. So to learn how it moves and to learn how we can move with intention and love for ourselves, it's a shame that we it's been this long in human existence, but it's also amazing that we're at a point now where we can talk about this stuff and bring awareness and education to people about this. And there's so much in my own body that I feel disconnected to all the time. And I'm really making an intention this year specifically to get to know myself a little bit better. And as I sit here and talk to you, my back is like, oh, so sore. Why are you sore? All these things. But yeah, so maybe to start, if you can just give us a little background of how this love of body came into your life.
I mean, Brittany, I'm not going to try and tell you guys that I've nailed it.
Yeah.
I haven't. I mean, like, you know, it's a process, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like because we live in quite a superficial society in many ways, that it has put so much emphasis on the external, it's really something that we'll probably never stop working on. Yeah. So I would say there's definitely been... I've been quite lucky, like I said, in the sense that I've always had this intrigue into the inner workings of the body. So I've always had that kind of in the back of my mind when the superficial voice does crop up that kind of pulls you down. And that voice that you would never say these words to anyone, let alone your worst enemy. And yet you're so free giving with these words of insult to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when those words do come up, in the back of my head, there's this other little voice going, but dude, how awesome is your body really? And I'm so lucky that also I have a partner, which, you know, even though I have imperfections, just like everyone, he's always so incredibly wonderful and say, oh my God, you look so wonderful. And you, so I think in that sense, I have been, I think, one of the lucky ones, but I have been in relationships in the past where that hasn't been the norm, you know? Mm. And I really feel like you've got your own inner workings that you have to do and your own voice that you have to conquer, but there are external voices that you have to be aware of as well. And so I would say that the first thing that people should do to potentially, with what's helped me anyway, is try and limit the amount of media that you consume that is putting that voice in your head. Mm-hmm. So if you are following people on Instagram that are upholding a beauty standard as being completely unrealistic, maybe redirect your focus away from those channels. If you're flicking through magazines and they're maybe not making you feel great about the state of your skin, get rid of that stuff out of your life. Mm-hmm. And simultaneously, if you are hanging out with people, particularly a romantic relationship, which has got access to you on a more intimate level, make sure you eliminate people who don't sing your praises and help to build you up. And I don't mean butter you up and blow smoke up your butt, but more in the sense that actually do start to redirect your focus to the truth about your body. And that is just how incredible it really is.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think it's so hard sometimes because, I mean, like our phones are in our pockets, like they live with us. We have this sort of 24-hour line of communication to the external world and society and opinions and judgment. And it's amazing how sometimes without even realizing it, we can take really personal or, you know, takeaways from what we see online, and it translates into this nasty voice in our head. And what are ways that, I suppose, beyond just limiting, like if something comes up for you that confronts an insecurity about your physical appearance, how do you sort of push past that?
I mean, it swings and roundabouts. So sometimes I'm like, oh, I better do something about that. Mm. And then I'll take action. And a good example is my skin. I've always really struggled with my skin. And I never stopped searching for a solution to try and improve it. And I actually ended up finding this really strong chemical peel that I did. And I actually got great results from it. So I'm super happy with it, you know, and I'm actually really glad I ended up going through that process, even though it was quite harsh beauty treatment to do. So I'm not going to try and say that all I do is self-love, because the truth is I do take action. I work out really intensely, and I don't just work out. Yes, of course, I work out mainly because I want to be fit and strong. Like, you know, my top goals are run 5K, doing pull-ups, push-ups, and that's not necessarily going to lend itself to the most slender physique. But at the same time, when I'm seeing my gains, I am pretty chuffed with myself. I'm like, oh, I feel good. And so, yeah, it, like I said, it's a process. And so I am kind of flicking between the two states of consciousness.
Mm.
But I think ultimately, if you do come back to that awe and wonder of your body, then, you know, that is really the backbone of where your consciousness should lie.
Yeah, actually, it's quite powerful what you just said, in the sense that, you know, yes, these things come up, but sometimes it can help push you and you're actively searching to make yourself better. That's pretty cool. Because sometimes we think, oh, it's just negative that these little voices in our head, the ego, for lack of a better word, kind of comes in, you know, but sometimes the ego is a good thing. It helps you to kind of push yourself forward. So thank you for saying that. That's pretty cool to just also know, well, sometimes there's room for improvement. Sometimes I can make myself stronger and healthier. And it doesn't have to look like this, you know, tall, lanky thing. It can be this strong, you know, gains woman who's out there doing pull-ups and push-ups. And yeah, cool. I like that. Thank you for sharing that. So yes, for you being a yoga teacher and a physio and, you know, someone who has really dedicated their life to body, and you can tell that you're just so passionate about it. And the videos and stuff that you put on Instagram, I'm always like, yeah, Celeste is going again. Let me watch, like, praise. You know, for a lot of people out there, the connection to body and movement isn't as strong. So what would you say perhaps are a couple of physical things that we can implement into our life, no matter what physical background we have?
If you've not been someone who's moved much, and there are a lot of people who haven't, you know, some people, you know, their thing is learning about gut flora or, you know, spinning yarn. That's their thing. And so, you know, potentially there hasn't been a lot of physical movement in their lives. I would say the important things to incorporate into your daily routine is to walk. You should be walking. And, you know, we used to say 10,000 steps, but actually new medical guidelines are coming out that are saying we should be doing 15,000 steps a day. And usually if we are only just bumbling about the house, I think we're around 4,000, maybe 5,000 at a push. So it is so important that even if your great grand passion is astrophysics, then please get outside and at least do walk. And actually, during that period of being upright with those vertical forces of gravity pushing down through your skeletal frame, you're going to set yourself up for success as an elderly person, because you actually need that those vertical forces loading through your body to help build your bone density, to get your muscles stronger for ambulating. And I, you know, as someone who worked in elderly care as a physio, I think one of the most heartbreaking things to witness was how old people ended up unable to leave their house because of a risk of falls. And this is literally just, you know, it's often we equate, oh, they're old. But the truth is, it's immobility that gets you to that state. And so I don't ever want anyone to walk away from this interview going, oh, you know, but as you get older, things change. Things do change. But at the same time, there are a lot of very active older people that don't end up with that as their diagnosis, or that's not the right word, diagnosis, but you know what I mean? That's not their lot in life. They're not going to end up, you know, housebound. So if I could just encourage everyone to at least walk, that would be great. And the second thing is really make sure you're breathing, because these days people's breathing is incredibly shallow. We aren't actually accessing our diaphragm. And that shallow breathing, not only, obviously, we're not getting enough of the right chemical balance in our body between oxygen and carbon dioxide, but we are also stimulating a hormonal response in our body, which can be really debilitating. And that is that we're sort of tapping into our fight or flight mechanisms, and we're starting to go into anxiety states, which is completely avoidable by just learning how to actually have that diaphragmatic 360 breathing. And I often see it in yoga practitioners, you know, they do something called paradoxical breathing, where instead of the inhale allowing the belly and the ribs to expand, they actually breathe in and the chest rises and the tummy gets smaller. And this is classic stimulation of your stress response because you're targeting what we call your accessory breathing muscles. Mm-hmm. You've got two different camps of breathing muscles. One is your diaphragm and your intercostals. These are your primary breathing muscles. And then you have your accessory breathing muscles, ones that are up in your chest and your neck. And those ones kick in when you really have to take lots of big, deep breaths. Maybe you were chased by someone, or maybe you're trying to get away from someone. You know, fantastic. You want your accessory breathing muscles to be strong and working optimally. But if you're using them throughout the day, you're actually going to be kicking into that stress response unnecessarily. And you know what? The prevalence of anxiety these days is so high. And I genuinely think it's just because people just don't know how to breathe anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I'm a yoga teacher as well, which is how I found you. And I do actually remember in my training that they had sat at the front and they were trying to show, just as you said, breathing in the top of your chest and watching it expand. And, you know, for me, I really like to focus on breathing deep down, like pulling air all the way down to the base of my body. And yeah, I think as you were just speaking, I was like, oh, let me breathe. Because you don't think about it. You don't think about doing that and the amazing impact that it has on your body.
But I will just mention, you know, when you're passive and you are sitting, we shouldn't be doing very deep breaths, because the amount that you breathe should always be in, should always equate to the amount of exertion that's happening in the body. Mm. So I think one of the other misinformations that kind of has been spread about breathing is you should be doing big, deep diaphragmatic breaths all the time. And actually, it's not the truth, because if you're passive or you're just lying in bed reading a book, you should be having a fairly just gentle, they call it tidal rhythm. You know, your tidal breath is all that should be happening. But even when we watch people who are just in that state of rest, when their tidal volume is paradoxical, that's when we start to see them dealing with high levels of anxiety and stress that are completely unnecessary.
Right. Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. And, you know, when it comes to sort of having, well, I suppose, like I mentioned before, I'm trying to move through this year with a bit more intention with my body, like something I've never done. That was an intention that I set at the start of this year. And I was thinking of just how I communicate with myself and the thoughts that I have in my head when it comes to movement. And even just saying, well, does this movement feel right for me? Does this physical exercise feel good? Like if I think of something like spinning, I've gone and done spinning before, but I never have left a class feeling good about myself. But I'm told that this is great for your body. You're going to get super fit. You're going to be really, really strong. And I'm just wondering if there's a part of ourselves that we should be listening to. Like, does our body know better than our brain what is good for it?
Not always, because if you sit down a whole lot and you've never moved, your brain is not going to enjoy going for that walk.
Right.
It's not going to like it. And your body is going to go, no. It's going to be very sore. It's going to ache. And all your body's going to be screaming for you to do is to stop. And then if you start pushing yourself and you start doing things that are tough, it's never an easy journey getting fit or strong. And in fact, actually, struggle is a really, really important part of being human. And it's something that we tend to avoid. It's one of the great ironies of life that actually what we need so desperately for our bodies and our brains and our personalities to develop is struggle. And yet it's the thing we shy away from most.
Yeah. Oof, yeah.
So I would say not always. However, to your point, if something that you are doing isn't, if you don't enjoy it, the chances of you doing it consistently is very, very low.
Right.
You know, so I would say if you can bring a measure of enjoyment to what you do, the chances of you actually making it sustainable are far, far higher. And so again, I think that's that's something each person has to dig deep in within themselves, and they have to figure out what their goals are, and they have to really push towards those goals. And in the knowledge that moving in that direction is not always going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. And that process, that thought process might be what they enjoy, you right. know? So there's a lot of reframing that has to go on within the human mind to actually make exercise enjoyable, because it isn't easy. And it's like, we don't always walk away from exercise feeling good, even though sometimes we do have those endorphins and you're like, oh, I feel so good. Sometimes you're like, no, I ache, I'm sore. I want to line the bath with a candle.
Yeah.
Drink champagne.
Yes, exactly. You know, you hear, oh, exercise endorphins make you happy. But there's so many times I leave a workout and I'm like, oh, I just feel so drained. And it's so hard sometimes to just kind of get yourself motivated to go and do something, even a walk, when there's so many other ways to sort of stimulate your brain than taking the time.
But I mean, you're a mom as well, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, it's super tough, I think, for mums. I think, you know, not only do you guys have the hardest job in the entire world, which is relentless, but you also, most mums aren't given the proper rehab that is really required to be healthy after birth. And I think a massive part of that is mums go through PTSD after giving birth. It's a trauma. It's a massive, massive trauma. But because the mother and the baby are alive, they fall off the system.
Yes.
You know, they aren't given the support they need. And so one thing I can definitely say for all the mums out there is, number one, if you're tired, please rest. Try not to put so much pressure on yourself. And we're talking about the beauty standard. I think part of the reason why mums push themselves so hard is because there is so much pressure on them. And I mean, if there was one thing I could take away from mums, it would be that. And we have to remember that fatigue is also a threat response from the brain, demanding your behavior to change. So if you're experiencing extreme levels of fatigue, it's really, really important for you to analyze what it is that you're doing that could be contributing to that threat response. Because let's say you're sleeping through the night and you wake up and you're still tired. That's not normal. That's a signal from the body that something needs to change.
Oh boy.
And I would say mums in particular need to be really, really mindful. And I mean, it goes quite deep, because I personally feel that if mums aren't given the support that they need, how can they then, it's very challenging to then be that parent that you know you can be, but is often quite difficult. And then what's that passing on into our future generations? So I just want to empower mums to listen to their bodies, that they're doing the best they can. Please give yourself a break and give yourself time after labor. Try not to go for that run straight after you've had a baby. You know,
oh my gosh, I know. There's so many things that we've just been pre-programmed to sort of think. I mean, yes, birth is like this incredible phenomenon that pushes our body to the very limits. And we don't train. Like, there's no training to prep for yourself like a marathon or something that you're doing. You're just doing it based on whatever your physical ability is, but you have to do it anyway. And then you go straight into sleep deprivation, breastfeeding. That's like burning a whole set of calories. There's no healing. Like, you don't get time to just sort of recuperate. And then you never do, really, because you're just continuing on. But what you just said too, that's sort of like, I mean, every day, I mean, my son is sleeping through the night now, but when I wake up, I'm exhausted. And that's like a full night of sleep. Like, I'm going to sleep at 9:30 and yeah, he's up at 5:30, but that's a decent amount of hours still. And I'm exhausted when I open my eyes. Like, it's the last thing that I want to do is to get up out of bed, but I don't have a choice. I got to get up and go, because he's ready to roll. The world is his oyster, and that's it. It is hard as a mum to just, and then also want a career and also want your hobbies and also want to do these things and provide for your family. Like, at the end of the day, I like don't even know where to fit in time for me. It just doesn't, it's like I'm fighting with, oh, I want to make a nice meal for myself, but I want to lay down and watch Netflix. I have laundry and dogs to feed. Mm-hmm. I also want to go to bed. I haven't spoken to my friends. It's just, I'm like trying to choose between what version of self-care And like cooking a meal is self-care. That's like, are you crazy?
But it's still energy. It's
yeah,
still
you
so
know,
much energy. To cooking yeah. is not. Don't try and make cooking lighter than it is. Cooking's like you got to get all the stuff, then you got to prep it, then you got to make sure it works.
Yes.
That it's not gonna poison anyone, and then you got to serve it up, and then you got to clean up afterwards. So there's a lot of energy involved in cooking. So I personally think, like, you just described it for what so many mums are experiencing. It's just there's so much pressure, because to raise a child long ago, there was an entire village yeah. that would pitch in. The aunties and the uncles would pick up the baby, and then the little other children, there was loads of other kids around to play with the kid. But these days the mom has to play with the kid, get the kid ready, make sure it's fed, take it to its hobbies. And it's somewhere in between all of that, you have to look after yourself as well, because there's very little support for moms.
Yeah.
And so, to throw in hardcore exercise on top of that to meet a beauty standard, it's a lot.
Yeah. It is a
lot. It's too much. It's too much. And so if you are waking up with exhaustion, I would say just watch the Netflix and order in.
Yeah.
Do that. Don't worry about your friends. True friends will be there. You don't have to call anyone.
I know.
And having your hobbies, I think that feeds your soul. So if that's a good way of you spending your time, you do that. But if it feels good to sleep in a bit more, if you have the time to do that, take that time to do that.
For sure. And I was going through your social media before this and just you're literally a ray of light. I mean, you can tell that just by speaking to you, and you're so real about your own body and things that you have that aren't quote unquote beauty standards, cellulite and rolls and all this kind of stuff. And you just sort of share that so authentically and with a little sense of humor, to kind of just make it light. But how has this relationship with loving yourself and all the parts of yourself been?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Yeah. It's tough to look at yourself in the mirror with that, oh, wow, I'm perfect exactly as I am.
Yes.
That's a process, I think.
And I suppose what would you say for like women in the world? I mean, of course, men have beauty standards as well, which is really difficult. Mm. But I suppose because my audience is mostly women, how can we as kind of this female collective support each other and the way that bodies look differently and but still beautifully?
Do you know what? It's a difficult one, because a lot of women that I speak to, when I, for example, I do mentoring for yoga teachers, and mm-hmm. There is a huge fear around putting yourself out there. Mm. And one of the big things that always comes back to me is, I'm scared to put myself out there because I don't fit the beauty standard. And I think that one of the things that us women need to do for ourselves is actually expose variety in what beauty actually is out there. And for example, I mean, I have people write to me going, look how ugly you look, blah blah blah, and I just block them straight away. I don't even think twice about it. I don't try and entertain it in my thought process. It doesn't bother me in the slightest, because that's their issue, clearly, not mine. Wow, you've got so much time, you can shit all over someone else. I mean, wow. So I'll send them off with love, but I just block them instantly. But I think actually people exposing different bodies out into the world, I think is really important, and not just allowing people who fit a certain mold to be in the public eye. So it would be nice to see even more variety of women out there. There are some incredible people already doing it. Someone who springs to mind is Chessie King, Shalom Black. These are, like, for example, Shalom Black, she was damaged with, she's from Nigeria. She shaves her head completely off. She's not the skinniest. She's really strong. She is like, if there is going to be a zombie apocalypse, I'm going to ask to be on her team. Because she's strong. You can tell. And anyway, she had oil burn on her face from when she was really little, I think 4. And she's now one of the biggest people on Instagram, because what she does is she teaches people how to do makeup, and she does these elaborate makeups, and it's so cool. And she'll start with a completely bare face going, this is these are all my scars. I used to be really self-conscious. I'm not anymore. And she's absolutely killing it. Mm. And I think it's because she's actually just putting herself out there. She's just, I want more women to do that. And what's so beautiful is how many people are supporting her in that process.
Yes.
I just think it's very cool.
It is cool. And for those who are, I was nervous to kind of put this out. I'm talking about all kinds of things, like, things that aren't so pretty in motherhood. I'm talking about orgasms and, you know, painful sex after a baby, all kind of stuff. And I was nervous. But what has happened is 90% are supporting and grateful. Yeah. And maybe not even 10, maybe 5% are shaming. So it's like, it's more of the world wants to see the vulnerable than
absolutely
not.
Yeah. Those 5%, it's nothing to do with you. Nothing yes. to do. It's 100% them, their insecurities, the issues that they are having to cope with within themselves. And they don't have an outlet for that.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. A healthy outlet for it. Because ultimately what you say to others is how you talk to yourself. So imagine what they are saying to themselves each and every day mm-hmm. and how so damaging true. That would be in their own little world. And like I said, all I have really is compassion, because I just think, imagine living in that own, your psyche, and that's your head that you're in all the time with yeah. so much neggy bad vibes. Neggy bad vibes. How's that for English?
Yes. No, but it's so true. It's so true. Amazing. Well, the last question I always like to ask my guests is, I created this podcast as a way originally to honor the woman within the mother. And then I realized that mother or not, there's so many women out there who just want a community of acceptance and want to learn more about their bodies and what it means to be alive as a woman in this female skin. And so, I always think a lot of it does come down to self-care and self-love and realistic forms, like for moms out there, like you can't go and get a massage or whatever all the time. But how do you honor the woman within you?
I make space for little rituals. Mm. I would say that this is more challenging for moms because moms have less time. So when you guys are listening to this, my beautiful moms out there, I want you to know that you're doing the best you can. And so try not to let anyone else's mold be yours.
Sorry, no, I was just going to say, don't worry about, like, your self-care is your self-care. So don't worry about us. We're good.
Yeah, you guys are way ahead of me anyway.
No,
I should be learning from you. But seriously,
no.
I do little mini things. Like, there's this brilliant app called the 5-Minute Journal app. And it's very, very quick to use. So it might actually be good for moms. And you can do it with your kids, where you have to write down 3 things you're grateful for, 3 things that would make the day great, and an affirmation. Mm. And then at nighttime, you just wrote what was great about today. And then you finish off with, I'm just going to open the app to remind me because I've only filled it in about 10,000 times. Oh, how could I have made today better?
Right.
And so they call it the toothbrush for the mind. So you would always brush your teeth before bed, right?
You
always brush your teeth when you wake up in the morning, but why will you not take those few minutes to actually do something that would program your mind for the better? And something that I don't ever watch the news, ever. And everyone's like, oh, but you don't know what's going on in the world. Trust me, I know exactly what's going on in the world because people talk, and I don't need to watch all that emotive language and all that sensationalism. So I protect my mentality through that. I use my 5-minute journal app. I meditate every day for about 10 minutes. I know that there's people who say it should be 20 minutes twice a day. I do 10 minutes in the morning. That's my ritual. And I try and move at least once a day. So I do some form of movement once a day.
Cool.
And that's it.
That's beautiful.
That's a nutshell.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your time. It's been such a joy to speak to you after being a fan, you know, so.
Bless you. Likewise. Thank you so much. This is such a great podcast. What an awesome idea. And
thank you.
What a special community.
Oh, thanks so much. Thank you so much for listening in. As always, if you enjoyed, leave us a review. It really supports our channel and it helps it to grow and let other people who might be interested in this stuff find us. And then also please just share it, subscribe, love it, whatever it is that you guys do to keep supporting. We appreciate it so much, and we will chat on the next episode.